Wow, that's super hard to get people back into the room. I now feel Kevin's plight every Sunday. That's awesome. Everybody good? Everybody settled in here? Well, good morning to you guys. My name is Luke Sinak. I have been going to Quest for the last 16 years. Raise your hand if you didn't know that Quest was around 16 years ago. Okay. Right? Correct me if I'm wrong. 2002-ish. The first bits of Quest started. I started going to their services, and kind of right after it got going and got moving. And so it is a pleasure to be here with you guys this morning. Kevin is out of town with Diane. They're in California visiting family, having some good family time. And Kevin last week told me, he said, hey, I know next Sunday is your anniversary. Woo! Happy anniversary to my lovely, sassy firecracker of a wife that everyone loves. Jack calls her Sparky. Where's Jack? There he is. There he is. And Kevin said, you know, you would have gotten out of this if you had just planned a romantic European vacation for your wife for your honeymoon instead of being around and available to speak. And I said, thanks for that, Kevin. I appreciate it. I thought about it. It just wasn't to be soon. So I've been going here for a long time. I have been at this body for my formative adult years. As a father, as having kids, as getting married, going through the 20 to 30 something kind of early range of life. Different church buildings, different pastors, different donuts, different songs, different bands, different all kinds of stuff, but we're still here, still loving this community, and that this is where I want to be. So thanks for being here as well this morning. These formative years for me were something that is not really an unfamiliar story. There's a lot of you guys in here that spent your 20s to 30s getting married, having kids, etc. However, when I was thinking about this morning, what I wanted to kind of talk about and go over with you guys, I didn't want to tailor it towards my experiences as a dad, my experience as a husband, my experience as whatever. I wanted to make it broad because there are a lot of different life stages, a lot of different types of family setups in this room, and I wanted to talk about something that for the 6-year-old to the 66-year-old, makes really good sense and something that we can kind of count on. And so, or 86 or 96, I don't want to leave anybody out. Whatever the age is, you're welcome, right? This is what it's for this morning. So I wanted to be clear about something. Please don't take any sort of indication that over the last 10, 12 years of my sort of formative adult life, that I've found something specific. I found a secret or that I've somehow become qualified. I've arrived. I'm here to speak to you guys because I have this thing that I found that I want to give to you. This morning I want to talk about something that is real to us from a level of one day of our lives. What does one day of my life have, and what is God telling me about how I'm supposed to live that day? And what am I supposed to be doing? And so I'm going to talk on a very simple level this morning, and I want to build out a kind of a mindset and a mission for us this morning as we go through this. So contrary to popular belief, I don't play guitar for a living. to a few of you, I'm probably known as just that one guy that wears t-shirts, V-neck t-shirts, and plays guitar on Sundays. But when I'm not here, my Monday through Friday, I work down at the Four Seasons Hotel as a learning professional in the human resources department. People stuff, right? Human stuff. Day in and day out, people stuff. So people are my job. I don't get to work with them. They are what my role is. And I love it. It's my personality. It's what I should have been doing a long time ago. I found it recently in the last few years, and it's what I should be doing. But there's not a day that goes by that I don't radically interact with the depths of people's humanity. And that sounds really intense, and some days it is. There are days when I go home, and I'm tapped out. And my wife can see it in my face. She can hear it in my voice. She can hear it in my silence sometimes. And that when you deal with people, you go there. You go down to the depths, you go down to the well, as we say sometimes, and you dredge up that stuff. And there's people in my office that come in talking about life, and they end up talking about their job. And there's some that come in talking about their job, and they end up leaving just talking about life. And I have to be protective of my time, yet very engaged in what's going on with these people in front of me every day. And so it's deep, right? I would venture to say that even if you guys are living your lives trying to avoid 100%, having those kinds of interactions, which half of this, all the introverts in this room are trying to avoid that their whole life, right? You guys don't want that. You don't want to have those kind of interactions. If you ask my parents or anyone that knows me from high school, was I an introvert or an extrovert in high school? My sister is mouthing introvert. Yes. Right? So people change, things change, hearts change. But you will have these kind of deep human interactions, whether you want to have them or not. And so my question for us kind of this morning, as we kind of talk about these people things, and as we look at these the short list of what people are here. So for me in my day, this is how I see, because one meeting to another, one visit to another, it goes like this back and forth. People are complicated. They really are. People are awesome. People are flawed. We're all flawed, right? Every single one of us is completely torn to pieces, flawed on the inside. And we'll talk about that need. People are inspirational. We need each other, right? We need to get on that level. People are hurting in ways you can't even imagine. They're hurting in this room right now. People are beautiful. People need people. People need God. And that's kind of my mental capacity as I look at people most of the time. And you could add 100 things to that list. So my question this morning for us that I'm going to kind of build off of is this. Or my statement, rather, it's not a question mark, is that we will either spend our lives resisting and retracting, or we will spend our lives reaching out and in relationships. And Brian built off this a couple weeks ago, kind of in his own personal experience, and this is not a segue off of that into something else, but at the end of kind of putting this together, I thought, you know, these concepts come up all the time. These concepts constantly come up. This is the bread and butter of being people in the world, but the bread and butter of being believers in the world. And we have to kind of interact with that. And we're either going to be resisting and retracting those things, or we're going to reach out to people and we're going to be in relationships. And you might say, well, that seems super easy for you, Mr. Outgoing Personality. I prefer to retract because it's much safer and it's what I know. Well, maybe we're going to take a look at that today and find a mission for you guys. Find a way to be that's going to kind of pull you out of that. And it's going to pull me out of it as well. So let me ask this question as we get started. Plain and simple, what is your daily mission? Not what does your day have, not what's on my to-do list, not what is in front of me that I feel like is a priority one. What is your daily mission? And if we kind of take a look at those things today, I want to connect that with what God is calling us to do, with who he is and what he's given us and what he's presented to us. And so what might those missions be for you guys? Maybe think about it. Maybe you're just surviving. I talk to some people in the hallways all the time. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm surviving. Okay. Maybe that's reality for them. Maybe that was just what they said. Maybe that's the limited scope of what they kind of have in their minds and brains. I'm just here to survive. How about stay healthy? Or on the flip side, get better, right? I talk with people in this room all the time. They're like, man, I'm just physically hurting. Every day hurts. I'm in pain every single day. I get it. I feel you. So maybe your mission is just to get better. How about make money or provide? And let me put it this way. Make money sounds very secular, and we're like, ooh, well, I mean, that's not my mission, but I'm definitely doing a little bit of that. Or, okay, fine, call it provide if it makes you feel better in the room this morning, right? We all have to do some things and make money in life to take care of our families and to take care of people around us. How about stay warm, stay cool? Hey, how's your day? Good. Just trying to stay warm, man. Just trying to stay cool. Okay. St. Louis, I'm on a mission. Stay cool. Got it. How about to get ahead or to catch up? I say that all the time. Hey, how's your Wednesday? Oh, I'm good. And just, whew, I'm just trying to catch up, man. It's been just blasted. How about not do or say anything stupid today? People are raising their hand. Yeah, that's me. My life goal, don't make a fool of myself. All right. Or have fun. Maybe that's the mission. I'm here to have fun. That's all I want to do. There's nothing inherently wrong with any of these things. And so I want to kind of get us to the place where we say, the things that I have in my life, the things that I'm doing, there's nothing wrong with those things. It is what my day has for me. There's responsibilities to provide for my family. I have to make money. I want to have fun. I do. If I don't want to have fun and spend time with people, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be around people. Except for the fact that that's what God has called us to do. So we're going to take a look at that today. So let me ask you this question. What do you need each day? Food, water, shelter aside. What do you need? What do you need from other people? Think for a second, jot some notes down for just 10, 15, 20 seconds. What do you need from people around you? What do you need in your day? We're going to talk about this here. Are you thinking? Everyone's still just looking at me. What do you guys need in your day? This is what my list looks like. Here's my list of daily needs that I had more time to think about than you guys. Peace, energy, encouragement, provision, Grace, forgiveness, unconditional love. I need peace in my life. I need it every single day. I need energy to get up early and to go do the athletic things I want to do and to stay out at baseball games coaching until late and to get up in the morning and to be with people and to give to my family and to I need energy, right? We all do. We all need it. I need encouragement. I'm typically the encourager, but I need it on the flip side. I got to have it, right? Everybody needs to be encouraged in their life all the time. I need provision. Like I need, sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's just something that, you know, my lawnmower broke down and the neighbor came over and said, here, use mine. Provision. Boom. I need it. I need it in my life, right? Because you guys know I'm not the lawnmower fixing kind of person. Everybody knows that about me. Forgiveness and grace. I need things I don't even deserve. I need those the most out of this list, the things I really don't deserve. I need to be forgiven when I'm off in left field and I'm off track and I'm off doing my own thing. And I need love without strings, love without conditions. That's what I need in my life. And so one thing that I think is true about this is that this range of needs is not as large as you might think. You know, if yes, you could probably build a list of 100 things, but for most people, the things they need in their day, in a given day, is not as large as you might think. So we're alike in that way. Outside of our individualism, our intricacies, the things that make us uniquely us, we need some of these basic things. Just the same way that we all need things like food and shelter and water. And so this is my generalized faith statement. This is how I view, how I feel about my faith in life, how I feel about if I don't know, if somebody's a non-believer or even if they're a believer and they say, hey, talk about your faith. Tell me like what's your thing? What is your, where are you coming from in life? This is me. This is my simple statement of faith that I rely on, I go back to, even when I'm sharing with people about how they can sort of get out of the pit of whatever they're dealing with. And my statement here is that God is in control and I am not. Simple, right? He is meeting my needs and he reaches out to show his love for me every day. So then I am called to love others as he has loved me. What's your statement of faith? What are the things that you go back to and you say, because of this, so then this? That's how each of our days of our lives has to be. When I look at myself personally, when I measure progress in life, I measure how I'm doing on the scale of good to bad, of accomplishing or not, of completing this training plan or not, of whatever. If I look at it in terms of a month, a lot of times I missed it. It's too late. If I look at it in terms of a year, it's already passed. If I look at it in seasons, I lack consistency and accountability. I got to look at my life in terms of one day, in terms of a day. How am I doing in this day? And so I want to talk today about the choices that we make in relation to those daily things, about choosing what matters in a given day in order to align ourselves with what God is asking us to be. What is he asking us to do? So what does God say about this? Let's take a look at a couple of passages. And so I want you to resist the urge this morning when you see this verse or passage and go, yep, 1,000 times. I literally read it 1,000 times in my life. Sorry, this thing is driving me crazy. I'm just going to pull it out here. All right, there we go. So resist the urge to say this one again. Got it. I've been there, done that. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've absorbed it. It's meant something to me. I get it. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And let's feel about, in comparison to my needs, in comparison to one day, what's God asking me? Matthew 24:37, Jesus is talking to the Sadducees, and they're asking him which laws and commandments are most important. They're trying to trap him, right? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. John 13:35, which is not lined up with my slide, is it? No, it sure isn't. Is it there? Cool, awesome. Multiple pages. John 13:35. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, and if you love one another, and then by our love, people are brought closer to him. So 1 John 4:19, is that up there? We have 1 John 4:19? There we go. 1 John 4:19, again, we love because what? Not because it's who we are as an extrovert, not because it's who's in front of us, not because our job is people. We love because he loved us first, period. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. that you love one another as I have loved you. And I know a lot of you have this, okay, what's my place in the body? What's my role? I've talked to my dad about it in the past. What's my purpose in life? Hey, you know, he's becoming an adult, or he's becoming a later adult. Not old, you're becoming a later adult. Saying like, have I found my thing, my purpose? Like when do you know that you found your purpose in life? And I don't know the answer to that question, but what I know is what God is saying is that we have a responsibility to do something based on what he's already done for us. End of story. Right? And whether you're 6 or 16 or 96, that concept still rings true. No matter what your family life is like, no matter if you have a blossoming marriage or you're just trying to survive the day and get through. So God is telling us, even if you're somebody that is an introvert and doesn't like to talk to people, hey, I need to use you to do this thing, to give people in your life a glimpse of what I'm like. And that's helped me to kind of think through my interactions. He's saying, hey, when you get gas at QT later on Manchester, the madhouse, I need to use you to give that checker behind the counter a glimpse of who I am. Okay? That means more than just being grouchy. That means more than sliding the debit card over. That means choosing to speak, having a conversation, asking a question. And that's what he's saying to us. So I work with a guy named Dennis. I've known Dennis for 7 years. I started there 7 years ago. He was already there. I don't know. I think Dennis is like God. He just always has been there. I don't know when he started. So for a long time, Dennis never spoke to me. Not a word. For a year. In fact, to this day, Dennis never speaks to me. Never speaks to me. And I realized over the years that Dennis doesn't quite have the capacity to speak to me, to start to initiate anything. He's very clearly kind of on the scale for something, whether it's autism or a social disorder, and I get that. I can see it. I can feel it. And you can tell every day, the biggest struggle in his day is not the hard work that he does. He's a dishwasher. He has been on the stewarding team washing dishes for 7 years. I only ever see the back of his head and his hands doing this. That's why I know of Dennis. He doesn't have the capacity. The scariest thing in his day is talking to me. Right? So I started kind of chipping away at it and saying, all right, how do I figure out what this guy's like? Because at first I thought, he's not the right fit. What's his deal? Bad attitude, right? I started just chucking grenades of judgment over at him whenever I saw him for no reason. So I started to say, well, what if I start talking to Dennis first? Is that still as scary? Is he going to be okay with that? So it was elevator rides. Been riding the elevator with Dennis for 7 years. Hey, Dennis, how are you doing this morning? Oh, I'm good. That's it. I was like, all right, words. I heard him speak for the first time ever, right? Hey, Dennis, how's your life? How's your job? It's good. Things are good. I'm okay. Never how are you, though. Never a further, right? He's like, absolutely not. Am I going to ask a question with a question mark? Because then that's more conversation I have to have with you, right? And he's uncomfortable doing that. So I began slowly kind of making changes in how I interacted with him. I said, I would see his back from 50 feet away down the hallway, walking away. And instead of going right to go into my office space, I would like, Dennis, hey, how you doing, man? You good today? And he was like, looking at me like, this guy is a freak. Like, who does this? Plus, this is the worst thing ever for me. And I started doing that more often. And I realized that he will speak to me. He will give me nuggets of things if I reach out to him. And then I started thinking, how long would I have gone without starting to get that out of him, without figuring that out? I could have put him aside because in the mind of someone that's trying to carve their way through the corporate world, sometimes those people in your mind don't matter. They don't. They serve a function, and in a given day, you're racing in and out of this and that, and you got your laptop up, and your spreadsheets, and you're this and you're that, and Dennis has washed his 1,000th dish for the day that nobody cares about, seemingly. So a few months ago, another employee came to me and said, hey, I'd like to see what I can do for somebody here in the building. Somebody that's hurting really bad, and I realize this, and I want to see if we can raise some cash for this person. And I said, all right, talk to me about it. Let's see what we can do. Not everything is permissible, but we can work something out, right? How to help somebody else with cash in our body of work. And so she said, it's Dennis. And I was like, okay, all right. I know Dennis. 7 years, elevator rides, you know. And she said, I saw him at the bus stop yesterday, which he is always at the bus stop. He rides the bus to work. She said he was sitting there with a little girl with a backpack, and he was holding her hand. And I said, he doesn't have any kids. I know he doesn't have any kids. And she said, no, he's not married, no kids. I don't know who this is. So I asked him a question. Dennis, who were you with yesterday? I saw you. Cute little five-year-old. And he said, oh, that's my niece. And then he began to tell her more. And he said, her mom, he didn't say my sister, he said her mom passed away of a heroin overdose a month ago. And her dad is back in prison and won't be out until 2030. So Dennis is sitting at the bus stop with his niece. And she says, this girl at work says, we got to do something for Dennis. I said, you're right, let's figure it out. And we did. We figured something out. It wasn't a big hoorah. It was something very quiet. And so that day, later on, I leave work. I'm driving down Broadway to go home. I look to my right, outside the dome. There's Dennis, sitting at the bus stop in his sleeveless Batman t-shirt that he wears every day. And he's holding the hand of his niece. And my brain went somewhere else this time. Not just, oh, there's Dennis. I know this of Dennis. My brain went to, you know what? Nobody knew that was going on in Dennis. Nobody knew. What a tragedy is that, that nobody had any clue that for the last month, Dennis has been grieving the loss of his sister, that he never even spoke about, even in telling his story, that he was choosing to give his niece a glimpse of who God is in that moment in time for a month. He didn't know. He's trying to buy her clothes, give her a place to stay, give her something that she can hang on to as a five-year-old with no parents. Dennis doesn't have the capacity to look me in the eye, yet he has the capacity to show God's love to his niece when he doesn't even feel like he can look up in most situations. And so now I had an elevator epiphany because of Dennis. It's now a 30-second opportunity. It's a time for me to lift my eyes, to make eye contact with somebody in there and say, hey, how you doing? How's your day? You okay? What's going on in your life? Something. Do I always want to dive in? No. Am I always in a hurry? Yes. But my vision of Dennis at the bus stop that I knew that nobody else at that building of 300-plus people knew about stuck in my brain. I said, everyone around us is in the same boat as Dennis. Might not be as intense, might not be that kind of thing, but they're all in the same boat. And so maybe you're that kind of a person that feels like, I'm not good at reaching out, but I see it. I see the pain. Just ask the question, who is your Dennis? How do you view these people? How do we see them at all? Are we opening our eyes in order to make good decisions? Who is your Dennis? And how do we get back to that place of choosing to love people around us? It's super difficult. It's super tough because we are selfish and flawed and sinful, and all we want to do is look good and feel good and survive and make money and have these fun times, right? Sometimes you go a month at a time and you're like, man, I've been living for me this month, 100%. Let's just call it what it is. Can I be real with you, right? You feel it. You know we do it. I know I do it. I know I'm a jerk sometimes. And it happens, and that's who we are in life. So I want us to get to a place of saying, who are the Dennises, the Denai? I don't know. And in our lives, I don't know. Also, let's turn it on its head. It's not just the poor and the needy that need this kind of glimpse of God type love that comes out of us and have them go, that's what God is like. It's our families. It's people in our lives. Be the first one to admit I've wronged my family on multiple occasions and still continue to do that. And it's a little bit daunting because they're literally all sitting right here. A whole row is my family that I potentially have wronged on more than one occasion. Brian talked about that space between he and his sister a few weeks ago, saying it took years, but the thing that made him reach outside of that thing was just saying, I'm gonna call my sister. That's it. It was a choice. He made a choice on that given day to call his sister. So how do we stay on this mission? What reassurances do we have? What comes out of the word that helps keep us aligned with what we're supposed to be, with who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to be? I want to take a look at what I would like to call the verses that built me. And first, one more quick peek at my list of daily needs here. These are my things. I already said it. Peace, energy, encouragement. I need provision, grace, forgiveness, love without strings, unconditionally. And so what do I have as reassurances out of God's word? These are the simple verses that have built me over the years that I started memorizing as a kid. I learned them when we would wrap them as wraps in the living room trying to memorize them, which is super fun, by the way. You should try it with your kids. Try to rap with your kids. You don't win cool dad points. You don't look great per se necessarily doing it, but you remember the verses. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. We are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. Let's just say it a million times, right? That's my life statement there. They, his mercies, are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Next slide, Isaiah 40:30, right? The classic one. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he says to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Zechariah 1:3, return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. Speaking of a whole group of people, a nation that had turned their back on God at the time. And finally, Romans 3:23-24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. None of us are worthy of God's provision. None are worthy of his grace. Not one person in this room deserves what he gives us and what he's done for us. We don't have anything special. We can be slick, but there's nothing special that we have on our own that puts us ahead of anybody else in the world this day. And so I like to think of these things in terms of a conversation that God is having with me. And in that conversation, in quotes here, you're going to see my needs in red on the screen here in the midst of this paragraph. This is how I think about what God is saying to me and promising me and reassuring me amongst the things that I know are my needs. And yes, they're all smushed together. And no, I'm not manipulating the scriptures here. From the word and from how God might say this to me, this is what I hear in my head. And this is the message that we're supposed to be giving to other people around us in our lives. God says, love me. Love people around you. These are the two greatest things I'm asking of you today. That's unconditional love. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't do it. Peace, provision. And when you wake up and you have doubts, my mercies are new every morning. Fresh start, clean slate. Tomorrow morning or tonight, right? I think it's a figure of speech, whatever it is. Right now, in the next 5 minutes, you can have a fresh slate. That's forgiveness and energy for me. When you feel weak, when you feel powerless, when you feel disconnected, my power is made perfect in your weakness. That's encouragement. When you feel far away, when you're making choices that are for yourself and that you aren't loving well as I have loved you, return to me. Three words. Return to me. My grace is sufficient for you. Be patient. Put your hope in me and I will renew your strength. That's energy and peace for me. Energy and peace. God is speaking truth into every day through these promises. Do these verses reassure you for the needs that you have? Where are they? Go find your own. Find the ones, and this is for all of us, these are the ones that mean something to me as I navigate one day of my life. God, what are you asking me to do today? This is a daily cycle. This isn't a monthly pilgrimage back to going before the throne and saying, God, I've been doing this for a month, and I'm sorry about it, even though we should be doing that. This is a daily interaction with God saying, God, I know you said not to worry, I'm going to try. I know you said that your grace is sufficient, I'm going to try to believe that. I know you said, right? Promises. I know you said, I know you promised. There's a difference. God says, return to me, right? He says, come back to me. My grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. There's nothing else that you need. When I was a kid, we were talking about at our house about whether or not there was anything else that needed to be done after Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we kind of batted around, asked the question, hey, what else? Is that it? Is there something else that you have to do? From a young person, it was put into me that there's nothing else. That if we have to go do something outside of what was paid for us already, then his death on the cross is really a slap in the face. There's more to be done. No, it was final. It's complete. It's over, right? It's been paid for already with blood. And that's available to everyone. That's available to Dennis. Dennis can give someone a glimpse of God's love with zero skills at all when it comes to interacting and with only what he feels inside of him is necessary in that given day. What does my day hold? Hold my niece's hand on the bench. That's what it holds. Try to buy her a new backpack. That's what my day holds. So back to the elevator. In January of this year, I started a series at the hotel for managers called Inspirational Leadership. And what most people in the hotel say when they're coming to that is, okay, here it is, another chance for Luke to speak and us to drink the Kool-Aid. That really hurts you guys. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care. I really don't care because in my role, I'm going to keep saying what I think matters. And if no one hears it, I'm still going to leave and say, hey, I said what matters, right? And so I wanted them to find a spark and say, what matters to people around you today? And I can't go in there talking about God's love because I'm in HR. But in a way, I can. I can build these things if I want to. And so I said, guys, for the last week, I've been walking around this hotel with this green marble in my pocket. Green for gratitude. I like alliteration. And I said, this is my phone pocket, you guys. It only contains a phone, which is why my jeans are stained with an iPhone shape. Ever. There's nothing else ever that goes in this pocket because I'm a creature of habit like this, except for this marble now. And I said, guys, when you go around this hotel, when you walk around and you see people, what's your role? Your role for the next month is to say thank you to someone, to see the back of someone 50 feet away instead of going, that's the back of them, track them down and just say, hey, thanks for what you're doing. Appreciate it. How's your day? I said, if you want change on your teams, this is how it's going to happen. Start here and then go from there. We'll build the blocks later. Start with this. Start with gratitude. And so when I would get in this elevator and I would think for myself, cool, elevator ride, kill 30 seconds, Facebook. I would feel this little green marble and I would be like, seek their welfare. Choose to speak. Maybe they can't speak today. Talked to a guy named Barry last week, who seemed really down in the cafeteria. Again, more people that are doing the Lord's work, as I call it. Shining up those cafe tables, refilling the food, right? And Barry seemed down. I said, dude, how are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm all right. And I said, but like, how are you doing? Because that's not, what does that mean? And he's like, well, I'm just trying to figure things out. I said, okay, do you need some help? And he said, no. I said, what's going on, Barry? Barry, what's happening? And he said, well, it's just kind of like hard to say, but I mean, it's embarrassing, but I'm getting evicted tonight. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm with my gal, like we're going to make it. Things are going to be good, but I don't know like what's going to happen. The last thing this guy can think about is wiping down tables. He doesn't even know where he's going to sleep tonight. And Barry's kind of grouchy. I know that about Barry. He's a grouchy guy. Barry doesn't have the culture fit of Four Seasons. Barry is a child of God. Barry is dealing with stuff. Barry is right in front of me every single day. So I have three questions for you guys. Three questions, we'll kind of try to wrap this up here. Forgot to push start on the timer. Facilitator's mistake. So I think we're somewhere in the range. My wife will tell me. Yes? No? Okay, good, thanks. She'll tell me. So therefore, now what? And just so you know, before we answer these questions, there's a bin full of those green marbles over there by the door. If you want to, snag one on your way out. Put it somewhere where you habitually go. Maybe tuck it behind your ear. Maybe that's your cigarette ear. I don't know. Put it somewhere that makes good sense to you that says, I'm going to remember this. That when I'm standing there jingling my change at Quick Trip, there's that marble. Choose to speak. Reach out. That's a child of God. Give them a glimpse of what God is like. Don't sensationalize it. Make it simple. Make it personal. So three questions. As the band comes up. Thank you, guys. Let's get it going here. What choices do you need to make today in order to reach out to your dentist? Plain and simple. Who has needs or who have you built space between? I have both to deal with in my life. I have both. I built space. And maybe it's someone in this room right now. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's someone that used to be in this congregation but isn't anymore. Who is it? Who do we build space between that we need to reach out and say, this space is silly. The space doesn't give anyone a glimpse of who God is. The space is selfish and flawed. And I know that God has provided me with these things to meet my needs every day. Therefore, so then, the space is silly. What habits do you need to break? What habits do you need to make in order to be ready to give others a glimpse of the love of God? Maybe it's just a habit thing. That's okay. Creature of habit. Biggest creature in here of habit. I went to a gas station every day for 7 years and got a Gatorade and a Pop-Tart. That's where our budget went. Sorry. Until I branched out and they caught me on it. They go, oh my gosh, it's an orange juice and a Pop-Tart. Be a creature of habit. That's fine. But if it's getting in the way of you showing people a glimpse of who God is, ditch it. The space is silly. That space between you guys, silliness. And what do you need to give up in order to surrender today to refocus? What needs to go away? What do you need to cut out of your life or say, this thing I'm hanging on to super tight every day, gotta go. It's gotta go. How do we reach out to our dentist? And here's the thing. Dentist is the guy that tries the hardest. He does. If I'm presenting, Dennis is here, front row. Why does Dennis sit in the front row? Because his eyes are closed. Why are his eyes closed? Because he's asleep. He works hard, right? His days, and Dennis snores like a freight train inside of a tornado. Right there. Right there. That's the things that I live through, right? Everyone laughs, everyone looks. It's hilarious that Dennis snores in my space, right in my face, right here. But Dennis is a child of God. Dennis has needs, and he is giving everything he has in order to give the people in his life a glimpse of what God is like, even though he has nothing. He has nothing. So what do we need to give up? Where are you today? Take a reminder on your way out if you want to. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we recognize that we are not worthy of the love that you give us every day. We recognize that we walk around in our lives and we try to act like things are pulled together, or we try to wish that things were pulled together. We try to wish that we were perfect, something that we're not necessarily. We have pride. We want to be out in front. We want people to know that things are okay. But God, you've asked us a very simple task. You've said, I loved you first. Therefore, love unconditionally. Love deeply. Above all, love. Father, help us to do that. Help us to find space in our life that we've created intentionally to push people away from us, and help us to say that space is silly. God, we know that you and your work and your Holy Spirit are the things that bridge that gap, because everything in us wants to dig our heels in and say, I need that space from people. I need it in my life. God, help this church to be a church that loves and reaches out, and help us to be a church that reaches back out to people and bridges the gaps of people that have come and gone, or friends that we have alienated, or family members that we have hurt, been prideful towards. God, help us to be a community of people that does what we say we're going to do, because you did everything for us, all of it. Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment. Confess what you need to, talk to God for a moment. and ask him to help you to bridge that gap.